In the reading assigned for this day, I was asked to read from the King James Version, and that's because in the King James Version, they have the word that's very important, desire, which you just sang about. You use the word desire in verse 7, whereas in the ESV, they change that to treasures. And so let me read the King James, Haggai chapter 2. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. That is God's word. I'm sure many of us are looking forward to our Christmas celebrations coming up, but I dare say for many of us, it will be difficult to exceed the experiences we had, particularly when we were children. At least, I can't remember Christmas without white snow and coming downstairs and seeing the presents around the Christmas tree. And boy, my mother would make certain Christmas things, cookies, cakes, etc. Well, it's possible that many of you are like myself and Louise, with the passing away of both of our parents and our son Philip. So we recall, in a sense, the Christmases of past as the good old days, when you would go to a store and the clerk would actually say Merry Christmas rather than Happy Holidays, with nativity stables in front of City Hall. And there were no schools in those days forbidding children to bring Christmas symbols, such as I heard this week that they're not even allowing candy canes because they're in the form of a J. So, as I always like to do, I have a question for the sermon. Who is there among you who wouldn't wish of the excitement parties and special cookies and eggnog of former Christmases? Who of you would not wish that that would return? And nobody puts up their hands because we kind of would. Well, if you are one of those longing for the Christmases of the past, you are like those people in Haggai's day that he was sent to preach to. You see, Haggai was the first prophet God used after the Babylonian captivity. 50,000 people came back to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity, and they were instructed to rebuild the temple. Well, they didn't want to rebuild the temple. They remember Solomon's temple. There's no way it's going to be like that. And so they spent their time in self-interest projects, like building houses as beautiful as they could make them and trying to live wonderful lives. Haggai came and denounced their self-interest lifestyles and encouraged them to rebuild the temple. So they did. But many of them were absolutely disappointed in the rebuilt temple because it was not at all like that of Solomon's temple that a number of them remembered. In fact, rabbis would bemoan the fact that in this rebuilt temple, there were a number of things missing, such as the sacred fire, the Shekinah, the ark, the cherubim, the Urim, and the Thummim. And outwardly, the way the temple looked was far inferior to that of Solomon's. So he had a task. He had to comfort the people as they looked at the temple and felt, boy, this isn't at all the way God had it. How did he do that? Well, listen again to the text. God said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house, that's the one they rebuild, shall be greater than of the former, Solomon's. They couldn't understand that because they were theologians of glory and were remembering their experience. How can that be greater? Because of the following. In this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. The glory of this new rebuilt temple is more glorious than that of Solomon's. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is going to inhabit it. And we need to understand that much of what Haggai has to say is used by others when they read the New Testament and say, well, that's a fulfillment of what Haggai had to say. For example, Jesus himself coming into the temple. Martin Luther was a strong proponent of interpreting Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, as the fulfillment of what Haggai was saying. In one sense, Jesus Christ becomes the desire of all nations. What do all nations desire? As they recognize their sin and their separation from God the Father, they're not going to heaven. So here comes the Messiah, their desire, who takes upon himself all the punishment of my sins and your sins in order that we are totally forgiven. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus says that he is the desire of all the nations. The gospel of the kingdom, notice the gospel, not the law, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So it may be that you have children and grandchildren and that these Christmases will be what they're going to remember 40, 50 years. Oh, was it ever nice back in 2018, that Christmas with mom and dad. But if you're not looking forward to Christmas because of the loss of folks or because of the gaiety and the food, etc., you've missed, just like these people missed, that Christmas reminds us of the glory of God is coming in a Bethlehem stable. We had a sign outside the church I was at for 28 years, and at Christmas I often would put up, he was born in order to die for you. Once more, focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. So I'm working right now with four churches. One of them's a beautiful church. It's big, wonderful pews, great altar. Another one is kind of ramshackle. It's old, and it's not as beautiful. But the people in both of them rejoice at the birth of Jesus Christ because of what he came to do for them. That's the glory that's being spoken about in Haggai. Haggai is a wonderful book to read during Advent because he's talking about the coming of the desire of all nations. Whether the nations know it or not, he fulfills a desire. And we need to understand that, especially when we're working with a growing number of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who are leaving the church because they don't think it's helpful. They have this desire, they just don't realize it. And it can come to them as the law puts them in the place. We need more John the Baptizers for our repentance toward the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, Haggai is a real comfort. There are going to be shut-ins I'll be visiting that have no Christmas. Their family is gone, maybe didn't have children, their husband's dead, etc. But they will have a glorious Christmas as we remind them of these passages from the scripture that God has come. He is your desire. And oftentimes when they take the Lord's Supper, they're looking forward they tell me, to going home. How did they come to that? They came by the Holy Spirit. So we look forward now to December the 25th or the 24th or whenever you're going to celebrate it as a time when we recognize that the glory of the Lord has been fulfilled. He comes into your church. Yesterday in one of the communion hymns, it talked about that communion is a foretaste of heaven. I always like to talk about that it's also a back taste of the Garden of Eden. Because in the Garden of Eden, they can walk and talk with God, and he would talk with them. In a worship service, we talk to God in our hymns and our prayers and the liturgy, and he talks back to us. Also in the hymns, the prayers, the liturgy, the sermon, and particularly in the holy sacraments. We need to help our children understand the true meaning of Christmas. So regardless if there's no snow or nobody says Merry Christmas to you, you know in your heart that what we need has come. The desire of the nations is lying in the cradle and will soon be hanging on the cross. Amen.